For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Be Available, as we pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
So, you want to be taught the law, you want the law, Paul says all this. I'll tell you who the law is for. It's not for righteous people. They don't need to be taught the law. They don't need to be put under the law. But the law is for the lawless, the disobedient, the ungodly, the sinner, for unholy and profane people, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, or for the homosexuals, for the men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, those are the people who the law is for. So you want us to teach the law? Well, what problem do you have, brother? You see, the law isn't for righteous people. We don't have to be rehearsing the law if we live by righteous principles. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, Paul says, rather than teaching and preaching the law, we are teaching and preaching the glorious gospel, the good news of God. The law is bad news for the people to whom it was sent, because it is a restricting thing, a condemning thing, the lawless. But rather than preaching the law, we preach the glorious good news, the gospel of the blessed God, which Paul said was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me and counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Now, Paul says of the ministry that he was enabled by the Lord. God isn't really looking for ability. Though so often, when we are looking for someone to fill a position within the church or whatever, we get out the resumes and we look for the graduated magna cum laude, you know, and we're looking for the most talented individual. God doesn't. God looks for the most available individual, and then he enables them to do the work that he would have done. And quite often, the choices of God are shocking to us. You know, it's sort of an interesting thing. He says, you know, God counted him faithful, put him in the ministry. And, of course, a steward is required that he be faithful. So God's looking for someone who's available, someone who will be faithful. Years ago, when we started Calvary Chapel, from the very beginning, it seems that God began to bless this group of people that had gathered together. It was definitely something that was ordained of God and born of the Spirit and born of prayer. And we began to have just an immediate move of God, and God began to add people almost immediately. Of course, we started with about 25 the first Sunday. And before long, we were running 50. And within a year or so, we were running 100. And there were a lot of other small churches in Costa Mesa at that time. And they began to observe what God was doing at Calvary Chapel. And some of the ministers at that time publicly said to their congregations, If God can do it for Chuck Smith, he can do it for us. I liked that. I understood why it is that God chose me, to encourage others. For if God can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. And he used that to encourage a lot of the pastors at that time. So Paul the Apostle said that the Lord enabled me. He counted me faithful. He put me in the ministry. I'm thankful for this. He committed to my trust the glorious gospel of the blessed God. He said, for before I was a blasphemer, he was a blasphemer against the church and against Jesus Christ. I was a persecutor. He stood by while Stephen was stoned, consenting to Stephen's death, encouraging those that were throwing the stones by holding their coats. And then he went down to Damascus from Jerusalem with letters authorizing him to imprison those who were believing in Jesus Christ. And on his way to Damascus, as he was breathing out murders and threats against the church, is when the Lord got hold of his life. But before I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul talks about his own ministry, his call into the ministry, and unlikely a candidate as you could ever hope to find. In fact, I thought that it would be very interesting if Paul the Apostle were to have a resume written of him and sent to some of the churches that are seeking new pastors. I'm sure that the pulpit committee, in reading his resume, would say, hey, don't even bother finishing. We don't want that fellow. I've been thrown in prison several times. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've created riots. I have poor eyesight. I'm not much of a speaker. And yet God enabled him. Called him, used him. Paul speaks of having received mercy, but then also he received the grace of our Lord, the exceeding abundant grace. Oh, how glorious. Now, this is a faithful saying. Now, he talked about the glorious gospel that was entrusted to him, and this is the gospel. This is the faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. It's a true saying. It's worthy that every man should accept it. What is that true and faithful saying that everyone should accept? This: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. First of all men are sinners. Therefore, he came to save all men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because all men are sinners, all then were dead in their trespasses and sins. Paul, in writing to the church of Ephesus, said, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that even now is working in the children of disobedience, among whom you, all of you, one time lived." No exception. We were all sinners. We were all alienated from God as the result of our sin. Our lives were wasted, useless, lost. The glorious gospel, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so this glorious gospel entrusted to Paul is just so simple. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And he who believes in me is not condemned. But he who doesn't believe in me is condemned already, because he hasn't believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but the men will not come to the light, because their deeds are evil and the light makes manifest. Jesus does not stand as your accuser. He stands there as your Savior. Jesus did not make accusations against the sinner. He only gave invitations. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. If you're a sinner, you don't need to fear Jesus. He's reaching out his arms to you. He's saying to you, come unto me. I will give you peace. I will give you rest. I will give you hope. I will give you life. I came to save you. You see, so many times we see Jesus in the opposite posture. We see him there condemning us, pointing the finger. Oh, I don't want to be around him. I feel so guilty, you know. I've done so many awful things, you know. And I see Jesus as a judge and as one condemning me, but not so. He said, I didn't come to condemn. The woman taken in the very act of adultery brought to Jesus. And they said, our law says we're to stone her. What do you say? Jesus said, well, I say, whoever among you hasn't committed a sin, let him throw the first stone. Then as he wrote on the ground, and I am certain, though the Bible doesn't say it, I'm certain he began to write on the ground with his finger there in the dirt. I believe he began to write and enumerate the sins that these people were guilty of, probably putting their name, Levi, you know, and start writing out his sin. And Levi says, oh, I think I better go. My wife's, you know, expecting me home. And so one by one, he wrote their names, began to write their sins, and one by one, they began to leave from the oldest till the youngest until there was nobody left. And Jesus stood up and he looked at the woman. He said, what happened to your accusers? And she said, well, Lord, I guess I don't have any. And he said, I don't condemn you either. Go your way. Sin no more. Oh, what good news. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not to condemn them. We didn't need that. We were already condemned. What we did need was a Savior. When I am in need, when I'm down, when I'm out, I don't need someone to come and tell me how horrible a person I am and how awful I am. And I need someone that will take me by the hand and lift me out. Someone that will help me. And that's exactly what Jesus doesn't come along to chastise you and to castigate you for all the evil that you've done. He's come along to take you by the hand and lift you. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul added, of whom I am chief. Now I'm certain that he could get an argument on that point. But again, Paul did have a lot of indictments against him as far as Jesus Christ was concerned. For he was a blasphemer of Jesus Christ. He was a persecutor of the church. He had injured many who had called upon the name of the Lord. But he said, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. In other words, the Lord chose the most unlikely candidate and saved him. I mean, if you were living in those days and you saw this young zealous Paul, and you saw how he hated the church and hated Christianity and hated all of the Christians, and if you heard him as he would blaspheme the Christians and just, you know, it was just so filled with venom and all against Christianity and those that were calling on the name of Jesus, you say, man, that is the last person in the world that will ever be saved. I mean, there's no hope for that guy, you know. And so Paul says, God chose me to show how long-suffering and merciful he is in order that anybody else after me might be encouraged. Hey, God is willing to reach to the lowest. Jesus Christ will forgive the worst. And it should be an encouragement. God set the pattern by reaching down to the bottom and lifting me out and making me his representative, his apostle, his ambassador. So Paul marveled, constantly marveled, that God should call him to minister the truth of Jesus Christ after how he had attempted to destroy this very truth that he was now proclaiming. Now unto the King eternal. Now Paul, when he's thinking about this, is just carried off into ecstasy, and so he has to throw in this little benediction. Paul does this. Every once in a while he just gets so excited he just has to throw in a little bit of praise kind of a thing, you know, and I love it. It happens to me. I get so excited with the goodness of God and the grace of God and the blessing of God. I just every once in a while I have to throw in a little, oh, praise God, you know, and a little benediction kind of a thing. So now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. So a beautiful little benediction here. The King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We are told to give glory unto God. Glory and honor and power ascribe unto our God. This charge, Paul said, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that you by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So now Paul is charging Timothy, and charging him according to the prophecies which went before on thee. Now, many times, it would seem, in the early church, they were directed in their ministry by prophecies, by the word of prophecy. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, now the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the ministry wherein I have called them. And so they fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and the Spirit sent them forth. But how did the Spirit speak, saying, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas? Here they were, gathered together, praying, no doubt, talking about the need of getting the gospel into the world that had not heard. And the Spirit said, separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the ministry wherein I've called them. How did he say that? I believe that it was spoken through the word of prophecy. Someone in the group was anointed by the Spirit and prophetically declared this. And thus the Holy Spirit, through prophecy, said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. And the gift of prophecy was used this way in the early church. When Paul was in Caesarea on his way back to Jerusalem, staying at the house of Philip, Agabus, a certain prophet in the church of Jerusalem, came down and took Paul's girdle and tied himself up with it and said, so is the person who owns this girdle to be tied when he gets to Jerusalem. He prophesied of what was going to take place when Paul got to Jerusalem. They were directed, and so Paul, in another place, in writing to Timothy, said, now stir up the gifts that are in you that were given unto you by the laying on of hands and by prophecy. So oftentimes, when they would lay hands upon people and pray for them, there would be prophecies that would come forth, in which the Lord would often show the person the direction of their ministry. Now, this is not something that is limited to the New Testament. As I said, I have not seen a vision or had a dream that I felt was spiritually significant. I have had prophecies that were directed to me concerning my ministry when hands were laid upon me and we were in prayer together. And this is a practice of the early church, and it is something that is valid today. Years ago, when I came to a very discouraging point in my ministry, having been in the ministry for almost 17 years, not really seeing any effective results, discouraged really to the point of leaving the ministry because of the ineffectiveness of my ministry, we were in prayer together, and a group of friends waiting upon the Lord. We put a chair out in the middle and we began to pray for people. And finally, I sat in the chair and they prayed for me, and prophecy, the word of prophecy came. And God began to tell of the ministry that He was going to give to me, and of the way that the church would be blessed and the way the church would grow. It seemed at that time like it was so totally unlikely. That time the Lord actually said that He was going to give me a new name, which meant shepherd, because He was going to make me the shepherd of many flocks. Before I came down here, a group of people were in prayer as to whether or not I should come down. They had asked me to come down and to take over here at Calvary Chapel, and they were in prayer in regards to it, and the Lord spoke to them through prophecy and said that I was going to be coming down, that the Lord was going to bless the church abundantly, that the church would be outgrowing that facility. We would be moving to a new facility on the bluff overlooking the bay, and that God would continue to bless until the church would be known around the world. There would be a national radio ministry, and God laid out so many things that have since come to pass through the word of prophecy.
The Old Testament study guide from the Word for Today is the ideal companion to your Bible. Are you ready to give an answer to anyone, anywhere, who might ask about Jesus Christ? The best way to be prepared is to know and memorize the Scriptures. Pastor Chuck Smith designed the Old Testament Study Guide to help you deepen your understanding of God's Word quickly and easily. In this helpful resource, Pastor Chuck provides a verse-by-verse overview of the Old Testament, making it easier for anyone to study the Bible more effectively. As you place the Old Testament Study Guide next to your Bible, you'll discover key words that explain commonly used Hebrew terms, excerpts from Calvary Chapel distinctives, biblical maps, charts, and diagrams that help visualize the text, and thoughtful study questions for every book of the Old Testament. Grow in your understanding of Scripture and strengthen your foundation in God's Word. Order your copy today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. The Old Testament Study Guide, helping you know God's Word and share it with confidence. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord fill your heart with praise and thanksgiving through the week, that you might know God's work and God's victory in your life. May God help you to bring things into their proper perspective and the proper priorities, that you might seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and that you might realize the power and the glory of the God that you serve, in order that you might see His work in your life in a very real and beautiful way. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Timothy on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Timothy 1. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.